Well, who had April 29th in the Masahiro Tanaka DL pool? Welcome, everybody. It is Wednesday. I've already set the date. I'm Adam Azer with Scott White. Chris Towers will be coming in shortly. Hey, Scott. What's up?
Hey, Adam. Who had a wrist injury as the Masahiro Tanaka injury pool?
Yeah, not me. But no. We do have the mildly strained forearm in there, so
yeah,
there's that.
There is that. I don't know. I mean, it's what it is. It's mildly strained forearm near the wrist, not the elbow. And the elbow, apparently there's no change in the status of the ligament. So I'm inclined to think this is just an abundance of caution and not a sign of a precursor to something worse. So it might actually be a halfway decent time to buy Tanaka. He's going to miss probably a month, thinking conservatively. So you have to be ready for that. But if you can get him for nickels on the dollar, you know, it's worth pursuing, I think.
Yeah, it's not a bad point. Now, there is one little thing here, though, because I kind of agree with you. It seems like they're not too worried about the elbow. But there is some concern that the split finger fastball is the cause for this. And so the question is, will he be able to throw it when he comes back? And then my question for you is, does that change what you just said about buying super low on Masahiro Tanaka?
Well, if he can't throw it, yeah, it changes things. It's his best pitch. So he would be a lesser pitcher without it. But at the same time, I don't see him doing away with it. It may be something that make him a continual injury risk, but we already knew he was that. So I think I'd just enjoy the good times with him. And again, assuming you're buying him for nickels on the dollar.
I hear Chris Towers, I think.
Yes, you do.
Putting on that headset.
Hey, what's up?
Chris, what's up?
What's going on? Sorry, traffic was bad today.
Was it?
I live a little further away, you know.
Well, that's okay. You only missed 2 minutes of the show, so don't worry about it.
Chris is looking especially Al Borland today.
I think I look Al Borland pretty much every day. I wear a lot of plaid and flannel.
He's got really the beard and, yeah, the plaid shirts.
So here's a confession. I don't know who Al Borland is. Should I?
From Home Improvement. Tim the Toolman Taylor's co-host.
Okay, yeah, no, he actually does look kind of a lot like him. Yeah, that's a good call.
I'm just a guy with a beard. There's more than one guy with beard. I
your hair
like
too,
Chrisley Adams.
No, your hair. Well, your hair looks like.
I guess.
Al Borland's. Well, guys, we got so much to get to today. Grade the trade later. A lot of injuries, actually. We'll talk DFS later with Heath. Julio Teheran struggled again. Tyson Ross had an okay start. Brett Cecil appears to be the Blue Jays closer right now. There were a lot of runs scored yesterday. Clay Buchholz is Clay Buchholz. But first, fantasy feud.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Impromptu.
Uh-oh.
The top five answers are on the board. Give me top five MLB teams in runs scored.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Hey, you know, we were just talking about Al Borland. Didn't he host Family Feud?
Yeah, he did, actually.
At one point in time.
Good call.
Anyway, I'm just stalling.
No, you can't stall. Come on. top five runs
scored. I'll go Red Sox.
Red Sox are in there. They are number two. Chris, can you name number one?
Los Angeles Dodgers.
Incorrect. All right, Scott, pass or play?
I'll play, based on the way Chris's first guess went. I'll play.
All right, he wants to play. Top five are on the board. We've already got Boston number two. You get three strikes. You cannot stall. So you have 5 seconds. Go.
Let's go Rockies.
Incorrect. That's one strike.
Yeah, that figures. Okay, let's go Tigers.
Incorrect. That's two strikes.
Oh, really? This isn't good. Okay, I'm gonna go with the, I know there's a team that I want to say, Blue Jays.
You have the number one answer, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Even with Bautista and Encarnacion not hitting.
We need three more.
The Devin Travis effect.
Yeah, and Josh Donaldson. Yeah. Gosh, I'm...
Three.
Diamondbacks.
Incorrect. Incorrect. All right, Chris, the Towers family has a chance to steal.
All right, so how many do we have so far?
We have Toronto and Boston, and you shouldn't need this much time. You should have been racking your brain.
Yankees?
The Yankees are number three.
So all on home runs.
Toronto, Boston, the Yankees, the Royals, and the Orioles, even with their last two games postponed.
AL East pitching is terrible.
AL East hitting is great. And the reason why I brought this up, four AL East teams and the Royals are in the top five. What does that mean for like Jake Odorizzi and Chris Archer and actually good pitchers in the AL East that you want?
I think you have it backwards, Adam. I think Chris was spot on. The pitching is terrible in the AL East. The Red Sox rotation lacks even a number three starter. The Orioles rotation has always been getting by on smoke and mirrors, I felt like.
I think we're both
right. The Yankees problems. The Blue Jays have problems. It's pretty much just the Rays that have pitching there.
I think we're both right, though, honestly, because I think there's no doubting at least three of those four lineups, Toronto, Boston, and Baltimore. The Yankees are, yeah, they're 27 home runs, but.
Okay. No, that's true. I don't. You know what? I need to look up Odorizzi's ground ball rate because he hasn't given up a home run yet. His strikeouts are down also, but that's a worthy trade-off probably. Archer, I think, is just completely broken through the way he's using his breaking ball now to get more strikeouts, and he's throwing strikes consistently. So I don't really worry about him.
Has yet to give up a home run in 33 2/3 innings. He's getting more ground balls, but he's not exactly
a ground ball pitcher.
Yeah, he's not. He's not Dallas Keuchel. He's 43.
Who's Dallas Keuchel?
I like Jake Odorizzi, guys. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued. I know yesterday wasn't a great start, but he did keep the ball in the ballpark. Odorizzi, 6 1/3, 9 hits, 4 runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts. If they had just walked Brian McCann, he probably would have been okay, but McCann owns him.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about him? And I also throw Pineda in there. Do you think he's another guy using his changeup that's going to be able to thrive in the...
I wrote that yesterday.
Yeah, what's that, Chris?
I'm all in on Pineda. I wrote that yesterday at the Fantasy Baseball Today blog. I think he's... Even though he's outperforming expectations, I still think he's someone that I would consider trading for and giving up more than it might make sense to. I really like what he's doing this season.
Okay.
And yep.
Final thoughts on Odorizzi?
Well, I guess I'm just saying I think the jury's still out on Odorizzi. Not that he's not must-own. That's not really the discussion here. It's just how much can you rely on him.
Mm-hmm.
I rely on him more than like Shane Green. I'm a little more confident in what Odorizzi's done than Green. So they're both must-own, but they're still outside my top 50.
I would look to trade Odorizzi rather than look to trade for him, I think is what I would say.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Big news. So we talked about Tanaka. Homer Bailey is going to be out a while with that elbow injury. Any updates on who's going to fill in for him? Did they say anything?
Well, Michael Lorenzen, who's a decent prospect, not great strikeout numbers in the minors, he's going to get the first turn. It could be a situation where they need to line up Raisel Iglesias and then maybe go to him. But if Lorenzen does well, maybe not.
Okay.
I mean, you'd rather see Iglesias get the opportunity, right? He's got to have more upside.
Yeah, I feel like he does.
Sure. And the RP eligibility.
Yeah.
Or unless the other pitcher has it as well. I'm not sure, but Iglesias definitely does.
I'm not sure either. I'll check that right now.
Archie Bradley was hit in the face by a line drive, and he will likely end up on the DL, but it looks like he avoided serious injury. Did have a very swollen face, though. Dan Uggla had chocolate syrup poured on him after hitting a walk-off home run. That was an interesting take on post-game celebrations.
Dan Uggla revenge game.
Yep. He crushed the Braves. That was a 10-2 comeback for the Nationals.
Well, you know, he killed them for 3 years. Why not keep doing it now that he's not on their team?
Anthony Rendon, dealing with tightness in his side, not related to his knee injury. He hopes to resume his rehab assignment today, and we'll keep you posted on Rendon. Jed Lowry will be out until after the All-Star break with a torn ligament in his thumb. Tough break for the Astros. Carl Crawford's on the DL with a torn oblique muscle. Could be back in less than a month.
There you go. Alex Guerrero, baby. Yep.
Let's see if he starts in left field against a righty, though, or if they go... Well, no, Vance likes the lefty killer.
Yeah.
So never mind.
Well, it's interesting. I think, like, just before the Crawford DL news broke, there was a report of Mattingly saying... We need to find a way to get Guerrero's bat in the lineup, which it was an about face from what he was saying before, which seemed like he wasn't interested at all in getting his bat in the lineup.
I think,
so,
you know, the fact that they're playing without Puig definitely helps in that regard.
Yeah.
Well, he started in left field. He went 0-for-3, but really nobody hit Madison Bumgarner last night. And Chicago, Baltimore postponed again. They're going to play today in front of no fans.
Likely that's going to be weird.
Yeah, likely.
I want to watch
time.
That game.
Me too.
I hope they still like play walk-up music and like do the everybody clap your hands. Like I just want them to keep doing that during the game.
The sound a home run makes in like an empty giant ballpark like that is so cool.
I agree. I really, really want to watch it. And this will likely be the first time in baseball history that a game is played with no fans. Baltimore, meanwhile, they have to play a home series at Tampa Bay. They'll be the home team this weekend, but they'll be at Tampa Bay. So that kind of stinks. They lose 3 home games, game 3 road games. What was I going to say about
this? Can I ask one question about a previous note?
Yeah, yeah.
What leagues are we taking a flyer on Carlos Correa in after Lowry's news? Do we think there's any chance he gets called up?
I think
it in double A, I think he's hitting 400 with an 800 slugging right now.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be writing about that in the prospects report today because it is a long-term injury for Lowry, so that would seem to make it a viable option. At some point, I don't think the Astros are going to immediately jump to that. They're going to try Marwin Gonzalez. They're going to try Jonathan VR. But the thing is,
I think we know.
Are they first in the AL West?
I think they're up there.
They have a great record, and that's with Gaddis, Springer, and Carter not actually performing yet. So they look like contenders. The Angels don't look like they're going to be as good.
The pitching staff looks really good.
The Rangers are terrible, so they look like they have a chance.
They've got a 3-game lead.
If Gonzalez and VR are doing nothing after 2 or 3 weeks and Correa is still crushing it, I got to think that it would at least be on the table.
All right. That injury last year, if it wasn't for that injury last year, I think he would have gotten the call up. It's just that kind of pushed the timeline back just a little bit.
Stat of the day. Matt Carpenter set a Cardinals record with 12 doubles in his team's first 19 games of the season. So he's having a great year. Bold-faced lie of the day comes from the same team. It's from Adam Wainwright, who says, quote, baseball is a National League game. I wish both leagues would convert to National League Baseball. You can't point to another instance that the pitcher has hurt on Achilles. That's kind of a weird typo there. The game in the National League is just a better game. No, Adam Wainwright, it just isn't. And I'm not saying it's worse.
This?
I'm not saying it's worse, but it sure as hell ain't better.
You know, a lot of people, because Max Scherzer talked about this too after the Wainwright injury, and he actually hurt his thumb on the ground out, his own ground out too. One of his points was, nobody wants to see a pitcher hit. Some of my favorite memories are when a pitcher at bat does something notable, like hit a home run. That's always such a cool moment. I feel like people do
want to
see
like,
that.
Yeah, but the one time every 15 years where like Dontrell Willis hits a grand slam doesn't make up for the fact that offense is down this season. You've got teams that have catchers and shortstops that are hitting like pitchers. And then you have a pitcher coming up. Like,
I know,
I'm a Marlins fan. We have JT Realmuto as the catcher. I'm not sure he can hit right now. I'm not buying the Adani Hechavarria thing. So the Marlins at times have 3 lineup spots that are just dead right
now. Yeah, but is nobody watching them? Because I don't remember an instance
Nobody's watching the Marlins, but
the plate, so I'm changing the channel. Like, that's never happened.
Well, look, nobody's watching the Orioles-White Sox today, and both of them are using the DH, so.
There you go.
Let me remind everyone about FanDuel here. FanDuel hosts one-day fantasy contests. Go there right now. There's no season-long commitment. There's no 2-day commitment. You just can play for as many days as you want, but one day at a time. And they're going to match your deposit of up to $200 that gets earned as you play if you use our offer code CBS. So go to FanDuel.com and use the offer code CBS, and we'll help you out with your lineup in a little bit. We got some great some trades to grade. We've got more injuries later. We've got a rankings review, as Scott made a lot of changes to his rankings. Who's moving up? Who's moving down? We'll tell you in a little bit. Tuesday's standouts. I have a bunch here, but if you guys would like to lead off, who do you want to nominate as a Tuesday standout, good or bad?
You know, since I saw you eliminate him from the rankings discussion, I do kind of want to nominate Jake Mariznick here for the start he's gotten off to.
He's actually in the standouts, I think. So yeah, go ahead. He's 55% owned. And had a great game, and on the season, I think he has 6 steals and 9 for his last 19.
And he didn't even start yesterday's game and had a good game. So, that's kind of been the one issue, is that he hasn't played literally every day. But already 6 stolen bases, which was something he hadn't been doing in the majors prior to this year. His strikeout rate is down to 1 every 5 at-bats. It was close to 1 every 3, I think, last year. And this was a guy who was a prospect who he came up to the majors and just didn't look like he was very good, frankly. And it was easy to write him off because the minor league track record was inconsistent, but there was plenty of high steal years. There was some power. There were years where he did hit for average. I think he as a prospect, he kind of reminds me of A.J. Pollock, and where you write him off almost immediately after he gets to the big leagues, but then eventually he becomes something, and I think we may be seeing that with Mariznick.
Also, I want to add that, Scott, you mentioned he didn't start. I don't know what the reason was, but they were in an NL ballpark, so they didn't have their DH. And Gattis played the outfield, so maybe that was why he didn't start. But you are right, he has been playing every day. So he's 55% owned. He's almost in the same range as Denard Span. Who would you guys rather have? Because Span was amazing last night.
I'd rather have Span. I don't think there's even a question for me. He was so good last season. I don't think Mariznick has any kind of ceiling like that.
Would you drop like a Dalton Pompey for Mariznick?
I think I did move him ahead of Pompey yesterday. Yeah, I think I moved him to 69th in my outfield rankings. So we're not talking about must-own, but we're talking in the discussion of being owned now.
How about Alex Guerrero or Jake Mariznick?
I'd rather have Guerrero.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Chris? I'm not buying Mariznick's improved walk-to-strikeout ratio this early in the season. It's such a small sample size, I don't think he's ready yet.
Chris, any standouts for you from Tuesday?
Steve Cishek got the save. I went to the Marlins game last night, so that was the only game I watched. He got the save, but he didn't look great again. The fastball velocity is still low. I'm going to write about him as my, the lead for my closer piece. I'm definitely worried about that.
Okay. And how about Julio Teheran? Who's worried about Julio Teheran? 7 runs, only 3 earned, but 10 hits, no walks. That was good. In 5 2/3, 2 home runs allowed.
The home runs are always going to be an issue for him. He's just not a ground ball pitcher. It's just the control right now has fallen off a bit, and it's the third straight year that his strikeout rate's fallen. It's definitely a little concerning, at least.
And there's another weird thing. His average fastball velocity has dropped like a mile per hour every start. It started at 93 in that Marlins start and was at 90. In this most recent start against the Mets.
That's actually very concerning. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It could be the leg, Scott. You think it could be the leg injury?
Because he did hurt his leg. It was in that first start against the Marlins, right?
I think that was his second start, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was early on. And
maybe
he's
first
been
start.
Pitching
no,
with that.
No, Scott, it was the second start at the Mets, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be. I mean, the thing is, we just don't know. I think it's... There's enough red flags here, and it's gone on long enough that you have to consider benching him, I think. Obviously, not doing more than that. Probably wouldn't want to trade him right now. Definitely not dropping him. But benching him, I could see that.
Here's what what the heck? My computer just turned off. Are you kidding? Well, here's what Freddy Gonzalez said before my computer turned... Oh, no, it's not going to crash again, is it? And then I'm going to get the blue screen. Anyway, he said, if I can remember the quote, it was something like, the stuff and the velocity are there, the location is not there, and they got some very good swings off him. Wow, that was going to be a lot more impactful until I had a technology breakdown.
You need some tech support there, Adam?
I probably
do. Got the blue screen?
We'll find
out.
Is
that chronic?
It's been happening. Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
Tyson Ross, any concerns about him? 5 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. And he gave up an Evan Gattis home run that should not have been a home run, but Will Myers, it went off his glove and over the wall in center field.
Less concern about him for me. The control hasn't been there, but that comes and goes for him at times. And it was actually better in this start. This was his best game control-wise, and he struck out 9, so.
Yeah, the strikeout numbers have been incredible for him. And, you know, I guess he's someone that's kind of a give and take that you have to get. As the control gets worse, the strikeout numbers might get better. But he's still getting you know, a lot of ground balls right now. I think his home run per fly ball ratio is a little out of whack, especially for someone who plays half their games in Petco. I think he might actually be a decent buy low candidate, I guess, if someone's worried about the ERA and not looking at the underlying things.
Brett Cecil. Chris, you're going to write about him, I assume, 50%
of. Yes, I will.
What are you going to say about Brett Cecil?
I haven't done all that much research about him, but the biggest thing for me is going to be just seeing whether he's over the issues that he had in the spring. He wasn't 100% healthy coming into the season, right?
Yeah, and his velocity since that first outing when it was high 80s, it's gone.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, if his velocity's improving, if it's where it needs to be, I think he's someone who can be a pretty good closer, especially for a team that's going to win some games.
I just wonder how long it lasts. I did the waiver wire column yesterday, mm-hmm. so I compared him and John Axford, and I said I'd rather have Cecil at the time. That was before Adam Ottavino. Now apparently there's an elbow thing going on, so we don't really know the severity of that yet. But I do think Cecil has more staying power than Axford. But just in general, Aaron Sanchez has been terrible in the rotation, so there's some talk of moving him back to the bullpen. Jonathan Papelbon is still a trade possibility. Rafael Soriano is still out there. I just don't know that the Blue Jays are that likely to commit to Cecil just because he's their best option right now.
Kind of interesting because Cecil was a high walk, high strikeout guy in the past, but this, like, last seven appearances, no walks, four strikeouts. I think I'll take the trade off of less strikeouts if it means fewer walks. It's kind of a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right now he's got that ugly ERA, but he's given up five fly balls and two of them have left the park. That's a ridiculous ratio and that's not going to sustain itself. And he is a ground ball pitcher, so I think there's some upside with his strikeouts and ground ball rate.
How about Mark Trumbo as my last standout here? He is batting .324 after a big game, 4-for-4. He nearly hit for the cycle, needed the double. He's batting .281 before yesterday's game, which would still be like amazing for him. Just what do you guys have to say about Trumbo right now? Only two home runs, .324, two home runs, 10 RBI after a single, a triple, and or I guess two singles, a triple, and a home run yesterday against Colorado.
Well, there have been a lot of extra base hits, even though he's been lacking in home runs, and the fact that he's just heating up in general leads me to believe we're about to see a bunch of home runs.
What are the chances that he... It's only 18 games, but his profile as a hitter is completely different than it ever has been. His strikeout rate's down to 17%. His walk rate's down to 3%. He's hitting more like a contact guy. It's a weird situation.
It is kind of weird. I would just see it as early season noise. But it's worth noting that when he came back from whatever injury it was last year,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember what it was, but he missed a good chunk of the season and came back for the last couple months and wasn't his usual power hitting self. I think he had 7 home runs and 240 at bats or so. Very streaky player, so yeah. Maybe he just didn't get a chance to get hot. But it's worth noting.
One good sign from Baseball Savant, they use the StatCast data to track batted ball velocity. He is 7th in the majors in average batted ball velocity, so he's still hitting the ball very hard.
Chris, yeah. You are such a nerd.
I know. I'm a big nerd. I've been doing this stuff on the blog the last couple of days. There is all kinds of nerdy data out there.
Oh, I am loving
it.
Oh, gosh.
Just swimming in a nerd ocean.
We are going to have to rename this show like the Big Bang Podcast or something like that. Okay, you're Sheldon from now on.
All right.
You like that show, Chris?
It's another one of CBS's great sitcoms.
Better or worse than Home Improvement?
I don't think that was...
No, it wasn't.
Did you ask if it's better than Home Improvement?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a Tim Allen guy.
No, Home Improvement sucked. All right, rankings review. Scott was busy working on his rankings, and he's got, I picked 6 of them here. We'll see how many we can get to. Steve Pierce, you moved him down to 26th at first base, and he hasn't played in the last couple of days because the Orioles haven't played, but obviously playing time and performance an issue for Steve Pierce.
He was, after a 2-hit game Sunday, and that was his second start in 9 games, I think, he was going to be out of the lineup for Monday's game before it was canceled, which I was discouraged to see. I still think the Orioles eventually go back to him. They
this,
just wanted him to get a swing right, clear his head, etc. But it's becoming a situation at first base where, are you going to leave Billy Butler out there for Steve Pierce? Are you going to leave Mark Teixeira out there for Steve Pierce? There just came a point where I had to move him behind some of these guys.
Yeah.
This is really frustrating because it feels like a total results over process move to be taking his playing time away. Mm-hmm. He was so good last season and he got off to a slow 15 games. It feels like an overreaction. I think eventually it'll correct itself.
Yeah.
Do you get mad, Scott, when you move a guy down and then the next day he does well, like Danny Santana and Ryan Braun? Santana is now 65% owned. He's still in your top 12. He's 12th at shortstop, and he did bat leadoff, and he went 3-for-4. And he's actually, last three games, been pretty good. But there's another stat that's kind of concerning for Santana, other than his horrible no-walk, 22-strikeout ratio there. Six yeah. errors in 17 games.
Yeah, and didn't seem like Molitor was thrilled to have him as a starting shortstop to begin with, so would be an easy excuse to take him out. And more than anything, I mean, the plate discipline, you expect it to be bad for Santana. There's been, like, no extra base power so far, though.
He hasn't walked yet.
Yeah.
Striking out in 30% of his plate appearances. He has a 383 BABIP and is hitting 260.
Yeah, that's not good.
Horrifying.
That's not good.
Well, okay, so what do you do if you're in... Okay, is he droppable in a one shortstop league? I know, Scott, you already did that, but you have Segura. Well,
then yeah.
Would you
I mean, I still have him ranked 12th, so I think there's somebody in that league who he would be worth picking up, somebody who has a really bad shortstop.
Yeah.
It's just a... I've talked about this a lot of times with shortstop. There's so much just... crap out there, and you can always count on that crap being available on waivers, so you might as well roster an upside guy, and I would still consider Santana that, but we're seeing his downside right now.
So, okay, so you're not totally giving up on him, obviously, still in your top 12.
No.
Ryan Braun homered yesterday, but he's hitting 227 with three home runs, three walks and 16 strikeouts. I think he has one steal, and down to 16th at outfield for you. Chris, where are you on Ryan Braun?
I like him as a buy low candidate. He's still hitting the ball hard. He's still hitting fly balls. He just hasn't had many go over the fence yet. The power's been bad, but I think he'll turn it around. I'll throw another nerdy stat. 12th in the majors in batted ball velocity. He's still hitting the ball hard.
And I was encouraged by he sat out a couple games before this one, and we found out that he was putting extra time in the batting cage trying to fix a mechanical flaw that developed last year when he was trying to compensate for that thumb injury. It changed his swing. He's trying to get it back. These struggles date back to spring training. So that seems like a plausible explanation to me. We see that all the time. It could just be an excuse, but it's a reason to hold on to Ryan Braun if you were thinking about selling him for 50 cents on the dollar.
Trade him to me for 50 cents
on
the dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, would you give up Matt Holliday? Matt Holliday or Ryan Braun? Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Braun.
They're right next to each other for me, and Braun's one spot ahead. So what does that tell you?
That tells me that I asked a very good question.
You hear that music in the background,
yeah,
Adam?
What's that all about?
They're testing out some video stuff, and we left the volume on the TV behind us.
The big Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Are you guys going to watch that?
Not at all.
Have I ever watched a fight?
You
wouldn't know, but the answer is no.
No. I've only been excited for one fight before in my life, maybe two. I think it was both Tyson Holyfield fights, and I am really excited for this because Pacquiao has got to be the biggest villain in sports.
Mayweather.
Yeah. Thank you. I couldn't be rooting against someone more than I'm rooting against Floyd Mayweather. I mean, you talk about a guy who doesn't deserve to be where he is. I'm sorry, that sounds harsh, but that's how I feel.
I'd love to get the CBSSports.com app text alert saying that he lost by knockout.
You don't want to watch it,
though? I'm not going to sit in front of a TV and watch it.
Why? Saturday night, hang out with your friends. Watch the fight.
Yeah, no.
Right.
That doesn't sound like fun to me.
You know how little I have to contribute to this conversation? I started eating a muffin while you guys were doing it.
So back to Matt Holliday.
Blueberry?
Furthest, he has hit a baseball this season, 349 feet. That's a little concerning, right?
Yeah, and
I guess, but I don't know. He's getting on base 50% of the time. I'm not ready to be alarmed yet. I understand they're two different things, power and plate discipline, but
it's just the power has been waning in years. He's going to hit for average because he's a great hitter. There's no question about that. The ground ball rate is up. The fly ball rate is way down. It's a concern for me.
I would take Braun and Roto and Holiday in points. How's that?
Get off the fence.
No, I think
Holiday definitely is better in points, yeah. But Braun's better, I think, in both.
Okay, well.
Hopefully.
Point I wanted to make is Holiday's better in points. Melky Cabrera down to 25th at outfield. I was kind of wanting to buy low on Melky Cabrera. I just can't think of a reason why he's struggling right now, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I hear you. On the other hand, he's been such an enigma over the years, and you think just when you think you haven't figured out, he does something like this. And what's most concerning to me isn't the fact he's hitting 269. I mean, he's still striking out at a low rate. Two doubles. That's it. No extra base power, kind of like 2 years ago. So, and then it's kind of like at first base, you got guys like Mookie Betts is performing, Cespedes and Martinez have been good.
Betts isn't really doing that well, though.
You know what? For as low as his batting average is, he's like a top 15 outfielder.
That's kind of interesting. I guess maybe the runs scored. Steals.
Steals and extra base hits, something Melky's not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm pretty satisfied as a Betts owner right now.
There's certainly a lot of room for improvement there.
Yeah.
Then how about pick one more, Jock Peterson or Jesse Chavez?
Let's talk about Jock.
Jock Peterson, 32nd in outfield rankings.
I just wanted you to hear you use that voice.
I haven't done it in a while.
I can't say his name without it anymore.
You shouldn't.
No, that's up about 15 spots maybe for Peterson. And I think it's justified. He's going to strike out a lot. I think the batting average is too good to be true. But
I think I'd rather have him than Melky at this point.
I don't.
It might be an overreaction based on a hot start, but we are talking about one of the best prospects in baseball. He killed the ball everywhere he went.
Yeah.
I really like what we've seen from him so far. His plate discipline is unbelievable.
And he hasn't even really started stealing bases yet, so I think that'll help compensate for the batting average when it does regress. But, I wouldn't blame you for trading Cabrera for him. It's the kind of thing where I could see Peterson moving up 10 more spots in a week. But it is worth noting, he was out of the lineup for the Dodgers yesterday against Bumgarner, tough lefty. Only the second time he was out of the lineup all year. But only the third time the Dodgers have faced a left-hander all year. So, I'm just saying, keep an eye out for that.
They've been batting him way low in the lineup all season, haven't they?
Yes, and that's what I wanted to say, because I think I would probably still take Melky over him, because I think Melky's going to get a lot more plate appearances.
I mean, that's fine, but we're still... At some point, Don Mattingly's got to realize that he's got a 390, 400 on-base percentage guy. Languishing at the eighth spot.
Batting orders are so fluid. I mean, this is 1994.
But it's like
every day.
Well, no, but he's hit eighth in I think every single game he's appeared in except for three.
I hear you, but I'm agreeing with
your.
I'm agreeing with your other point that Mattingly's eventually going to change it up if things continue down this road.
This is a guy who could hit 250 with a 400 on base percentage. He's really got that kind of eye at the plate.
It's going to have to be Jimmy Rollins though, because I agree if there's an obvious solution, an obvious guy that shouldn't be at the top of the order, and maybe it is Rollins.
Where's Carl Crawford been batting? He's not going to be batting there anymore.
Okay, that's a good point. And then you have
I'd
Puig.
Like to see them move him up, let him go on the base pass, second in batted ball velocity.
Oh my god!
I'm
tell
loving
me,
it,
tell
man.
Me something
I'm
about an isosceles triangle, Chris.
What's that?
Tell me something
isosceles triangle.
About an isosceles triangle.
It's got three sides. Three
are
corners.
Are they all the same? Is that isosceles?
No, that's an equilateral.
Okay.
Isosceles has two sides that are of equal length, right?
Good to know.
All right.
Here's a quick rundown of everything that happened yesterday that you need to know. Injuries, news, and notes. Dominic Brown was sent to AAA. Charlie Morton will begin a rehab assignment this weekend. Mitch Moreland's out 2 to 3 weeks. He's going to have elbow surgery. Desmond Jennings has missed 3 straight games with knee soreness. Greg Holland could be back May 3rd. Alex Gordon homered again. He stays hot. Trevor May expects to start on Friday. Jose Iglesias was batting 9th yesterday at Minnesota with a righty on the mound and Anthony Gost leading off. It's a continuation of what Heath and I were talking about yesterday. Rusne Castillo expected to return to AAA today after a shoulder injury sidelined him. Gregory Polanco was out with groin tightness, and Max Scherzer could start tonight at Atlanta. Studs being studs. 3 guys who were awesome last night. What are your thoughts, if you have any? Jose Altuve, he's just been amazing lately. Nelson
What are your
Cruz.
Thoughts, Adam? You were the big Jose Altuve detractor.
All I was saying was he didn't deserve to be a first-round pick. I wasn't exactly a detractor.
He's playing like one.
He is playing like one. I think the Rendon situation makes him more of a first-round pick, creates a little more separation.
He's just a 330, 340 hitter.
I don't know about that. That's the thing. He wasn't before last year. He wasn't a 330 hitter before last year.
Sure, but he cut his strikeout rate almost in half. He's got speed. He's going to put the bat on the ball. He's going to put the ball in play. He's going to make things happen. He does all the things that you would expect a guy who hits for a high average to do.
It seems
maybe
to me,
it's not 350, maybe it's 330.
Okay, it seems to me like he's still more of a second round pick than a first round pick, but obviously it's harder to argue with it, but he's hot right now. I mean, the last 7 games, he's batting .429.
He is on pace for, let's do the math in my head, like 76 steals, 74 steals, I think.
Yeah, right? Last 7 games, he's batting .429, so let's wait for him to cool off a little bit. Nelson
but
Cruz.
He's doing basically exactly what he did last season. Almost to a T in every category.
Okay, but last 7 games, he's batting .429, so I think we're getting him at the peak of his value right now.
What are you doing? You selling high on him?
No, I'm just saying, I don't think I would sell high on him. I think he's still a very good player, but.
Okay.
Last 7 games, he's batting .429, so let's wait for him to cool off.
He's never going to cool off. He's a .430 hitter for the rest of his career. Book it.
Nelson Cruz, okay? For example, Nelson Cruz.
Uh-huh.
I would sell high on Nelson Cruz.
He's a guy I would sell high on.
Yes, thank you.
He's batting. Why? I mean.
Because, Scott, I think the batting average, you know, he's batting .329. Look what he did in the first 2 months last year. He hit .315 with 20 homers. Last 4 months, he hit .249 with 20 homers. And I think you could get an amazing player for Nelson Cruz.
Well, that's what it would take. I just worry anytime we label a sell high guy, it's interpreted as sell at all costs guy, when that's not what it is. You're selling Nelson Cruz for like a Jose Altuve if you're selling him. You're not selling him for like Ryan Braun.
Exactly. Completely agree. And Madison Bumgarner righted himself, hopefully, last night. 8 innings, 9 strikeouts, 1 run. He was awesome. 3 up, Denard Span. 5 for 6 with a home run and 3 doubles and 4 runs. Brandon Moss, 2 for 4 with a home run. Last 6 games, he's 8 for 20 with 3 homers. And this is a guy who, 2014, before the All-Star break, hit .268 with 21 home runs. Brandon Moss, 80% owned. And A.J. Pierzynski, the catcher that just keeps on... He's on hitting. .439 batting average right now with 3 home runs. He went 4 for 4 yesterday. Thoughts on Span, Moss, or Pierzynski?
Well, I think it's safe to say Span is healthy. That's, I think, a reasonable conclusion from this performance. 4 extra base hits, that says a lot. Moss, you expected him to heat up at some point. Again, we could say it's safe to say he's healthy probably after the hip surgery this offseason. Pierzynski, I think, is the most interesting one, especially with all the catchers going down with injuries. He's hit safely in all the 11 games he's played. 2 strikeouts in 41 at-bats, which, I mean, he's not going to keep hitting .436. He's not going to keep striking out 1 every 20 at-bats, but there does seem to be some measure of legitimacy to this, and I just think back to... What was it, 2013, 2012?
17 home runs and 27 the previous year.
Yeah, it was, okay, we were kind of at the same place with Pierzynski. He's old, he's done contributing in fantasy, and then he has the best season of his career. I think it's going to be hard for a 38-year-old catcher to play 120 games even, 110. But as a second catcher in a mixed league, I'd be willing to roll with him right now.
Avila or Pierzynski?
I think I'd go Pierzynski right now. I don't think you'd be losing all that much by dropping Avila, even if even if rest of season Avila might have a better chance of better stats. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Two down. We've got Jason Hayward, who was dropped to sixth in the order, and Rougned Odor. Hayward actually had a good game, but everybody did for St. Louis pretty much. And Rougned Odor is 53% owned. He's 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. And he's batting 156 with a home run and a steal. He's been terrible.
Yeah, I dropped him in a mixed league. I needed to pick up someone, and he was the only guy I could drop.
Okay, any thoughts on Hayward, Scott?
Well, my thoughts on Hayward were basically back where we were before the season started. Just everybody keeps buying into this idea of what he could be, and he continues to not be that, and it doesn't look like anything's changed just because he's wearing a different uniform now. He's actually walking a lot less.
I really thought the Cardinals were going to work some kind of weird Cardinals juju and figure out how to turn him into an MVP candidate.
And it could still happen. His stance has been, I mean, it's visibly different, mm-hmm. So they're working with him. It's just...
He's always hit too many ground balls to develop into the kind of power hitter that we expected.
Yeah.
And now he's hitting even more ground balls.
So, Heath's here. Hi, Heath.
What's up?
I have a page of notes left before we get into DFS, so...
Okay, that's fine.
Everyone can contribute, but let's do this quickly in just a few minutes here.
Okay.
Rotation from yesterday. Is Jared Weaver droppable?
No.
I think he has been in head-to-head leagues.
Come on, Scott. Come on over.
I actually think head-to-heads is a better format because of the lack of strikeouts and the potential for innings and wins. I'm not dropping him yet. Bench him, fine. I am concerned about him, but dropping seems like a rash move.
Okay. 13 home runs and 6, or 13 strikeouts, 6 home runs, and 29 and a third. Off to bat.
His average pitch is like 78 miles per hour right now.
Every hitter has a higher batting velocity than
probably.
Although I don't know what an average batting velocity would be. Probably, what, like 85 miles per hour or something like that?
It's like in the high 80s, like 87.
Drew Hutchison, is he droppable? He's 88% owned. He's got a 6.67 ERA.
Droppable, yeah. I would say he is. And just kind of an enigma. He's become another Clay Buchholz, I feel like, where start to start, the results can be drastically different.
Heath, is Clay Buchholz droppable?
Yeah, I think so. That was disastrous yesterday.
Who's a better long-term, like, if you're going to hold one of these guys, Weaver, Hutchison, Buchholz?
Blech.
I actually weirdly like Buchholz. I can't explain it, but it's really weird the way he's pitching this season.
Yeah.
Like you said, enigma is the perfect word. I just think he's got some upside.
Sure.
I agree with that. I would be most likely to hold on to Weaver, obviously. But it's more a situation of where I'd be less scared to drop Buchholz, I guess, than Weaver.
Fringy starting pitchers, rank these three guys. Jay Happ, Travis Wood, Kyle Loesch.
I'll go Loesch, Happ, Wood. Though Happ has definitely been interesting. Still no home runs allowed.
Wood, Loesch, Happ for me.
Wood, Happ, Loesch.
Oh, good. Consensus. In the bullpen, should we pick up Brad Ziegler in anticipation of Addison Reed finally losing his job? Ziegler has allowed one hit, no runs, no walks in 9 2/3, and Reed stinks.
I hadn't thought about it before today, but it's worth thinking about, sure. I just think the Diamondbacks closer, whoever it is going to be like one of the worst closers in fantasy because of the way their team's constructed.
All right, Chris Martin got a save for the Yankees. That's just an availability thing. And Jason Grilley got roughed up by Washington. In deep leagues, do you want any of these guys? David Phelps, Mike Pelfrey, or Chase Whitley? Whitley's going to stay in the Yankees rotation.
I hate Mike Pelfrey. I think this is the second time I've done a stack against him in FanDuel, and I think his two good starts this season have been when I did a stack against him in FanDuel.
I basically called him hot garbage yesterday in the article, and then
he has a perfect game under his belt.
He and for what it's worth, Mike Pelfrey believes that this is legit and he's figured it out.
Okay.
At what, 32?
I mean, he was good in 2010.
Well,
so it was
in 2008.
I mean, good for him is going to be, he's an extreme ground ball guy, right?
Well, he is this year.
That's what he profiles as with the lack of strikeouts. And he throws a sinker a lot at the time, so.
I mean, his highest ground ball percentage before this year was 53% once.
And that was in 19 innings.
Yeah, okay. So like 40.
He's a decent ground ball pitcher. He's not an extreme ground ball pitcher.
His velocity is way up this year for what it's worth. I mean, according to BrooksBaseball.net, up about 2 miles per hour from last year and at the highest really it's ever been in his career.
Yeah.
So.
And he's figured out how to strand runners. Got an 85% strand rate.
Let's grade some trades. Ready for grade the trade?
Sure.
AJ gave up Holland and Holiday for Dickerson and Betances in a 12-team 5x5 Roto League. Interesting. Holland and Holiday getting Dickerson and Betances.
I like it.
I assume it's Greg Holland. Yeah. I actually don't like it because I think Holiday and Dickerson are still close enough, and that may be where the divide is. That I wouldn't want to give up the elite closer for probably a non-closer in Betances.
I think I agree with you. Many grades.
I think that's fair, but we're talking about, I think Dickerson's, he's not going to be Holiday in batting average probably, but he won't be that far off.
Grade it.
He's going to, what?
Grade it.
What's a grade?
Is this a category league?
D minus.
12 team 5x5. I would give it a B minus.
Not knowing what else he has for saves, I'm going to give it a C minus.
Kevin is in a 10-team redraft categories league. Give Starlin Castro and Michael Pineda for Corey Kluber and Cole Calhoun. Give up Castro, Starlin Castro, and Michael Pineda for Kluber and Calhoun. Yeah.
That's an A minus.
Yeah, as much as I said I'm all in on Pineda, I love the idea of buying low on Kluber if someone's skeptical of him.
Yeah, that was a bad grade. I'm A.
A, yeah.
Chuck Schmitz, give Adrian Gonzalez and Dustin Pedroia, get Steven Strasburg.
I like Strasburg as kind of a buy low if someone's panicking about him, but that's not quite low enough.
It's not buying low.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is not at
all. I'll give it an even C, though. Yeah. I do think Strasburg is still the best player of the three.
I'm going to give it a D+, not because I hate it, but because I feel like you're supposed to be selling high on Adrian Gonzalez and buying.
And Pedroia.
And buying low on Steven Strasburg, and you're not doing any of those things.
Yeah.
Good point.
C minus.
Micah J, 12-team Dynasty League. Give up Adam Jones and Salvador Perez. Get Justin Upton and Evan Gattis in a Dynasty League. Jones and Perez for Justin Upton and Evan Gattis. Woo.
That's interesting. I don't think either side necessarily wins. I think it's a C. I think it's just... Depends on what you're looking for your team and who you like more. I think it's personal preference.
Yep, I agree.
Bun Bizzle. I traded Steven Vogt and Mark Trumbo for Colin McHugh after losing Wainwright and Bailey. He gave up Vogt and Trumbo for McHugh.
That seems like a good deal.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't hate it. I mean, especially we try not to factor needs into the equation, but. Especially factoring it in, I think you to get a pitcher of McHugh's caliber, you couldn't have expected to give up less than that. So I would give it a B minus.
Yeah, I was going to go solid B. So
B minus
works for me. Time for some DFS talk, and our tweet of the day from Jason Mariana: is it wrong that I LOL'd when Heath Cummings said he was living alone and spending a lot of time on the couch with his laptop?
No, wait a second. I don't feel like that's an appropriate tweet of the day.
Why? I laughed inside.
You laughed inside as well. Okay.
I let it go yesterday, but I'm bringing it back today.
Well, I've got a tweet of the day that I'm not allowed to laugh at, but it's more DFS centered.
Okay.
So just be prepared not to laugh at this tweet because it's not funny.
And what is it?
From Dun Dun Dun. That's literally the Twitter
handle. Yeah, no, he's got a great Twitter handle. I love that guy.
Not to be insensitive, but I guess Bradley is finally allowed a hard hit ball.
Oh, man. That is insensive.
Yeah, it's just like the old, I'm not racist, but
I mean, yeah.
That is insensitive for sure.
That is.
Okay, DFS?
Yeah, well, I also got a tweet that said something like, I wish I remembered who it was from. I'll try to look it up. It was like, so today's Orioles game is going to be played in front of no fans. So in other words, it's a Phillies game, which was kind of Yeah,
yeah. When I heard it, I said the White Sox will be very comfortable.
That Bradley ball was one of the, I think Ken Rosenthal tweeted this out, 12 balls have been hit 110 miles an hour or harder. That was the 12th.
Oy, man. All right, let's DFS it, and then we can talk about Heath Cummings making some trades in the Real Roto League.
Well, you know me, so you know that I love Felix, especially against the Rangers. And the opposing pitcher is Wandy Rodriguez, so yeah, it's going to be really hard not to play Phoenix, especially in cash games. I feel like you're just putting yourself in an unnecessary disadvantage, especially with the softer pricing on hitters. Also, you know me, so the Zach Greinke situation is interesting because the Giants' offense doesn't scare me, and the opposing pitcher is Ryan Vogelsong, and his price hasn't gone up, even though he scored 18 fantasy points in 2 of his last 3 starts, but I also have to admit that Zach Greinke is due for some regression at some point. He's been just a little bit lucky. So I will have a little bit of Greinke, but not too much. And then if I don't take one of the top two, which I mostly will, I like Carmart against the Phillies.
Yeah, I like that too. He's the fifth most expensive pitcher, Carlos Martinez, but I mean, significantly less than Felix Hernandez.
Well, yeah, it's significantly less. As far as stacks go, go ahead.
Oh, Martinez does have pretty significant platoon splits in his career, right? Against, you know, he struggles against lefties. That's one thing. I mean, the Phillies don't exactly scare you, but the guys that who could presumably, conceivably, in a hypothetical world where they're not terrible hit, are lefties in the Phillies lineup. So
I don't live in that world, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something to consider, but it's probably not actually a concern.
You know, I kind of wanted to discount how good he was in his last start because it was against the Brewers, and they're so awful.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at the team stats. The Brewers and the Phillies are tied so far this year with a 6.04 OPS.
I'm back to eating my muffin, by the way.
That's good. That's good for a catcher.
It's pretty bad for a catcher, actually. OPS as a team.
Who else do you like, Heath?
Okay. My stack of the day yesterday was the Diamondbacks. That worked out okay. I like him again today. Jordan Lyles is certainly better than Kyle Kendrick, but I'm not sure he's good enough to make me go away from him. I like the Mariners against Wandy Rodriguez. Everybody's going to keep playing Nelson Cruz. He's really hard not to play him too. And I like the Dodgers against Ryan Vogelsong.
Who's pitching for Arizona?
Kalmenter.
Kalmenter, who's oddly been good at home, or at least he was last year, and then this year it's kind of seems to be reversing. So I don't know what to make of that whole Arizona situation, Colorado Rockies situation. I don't think they're a bad play.
I think Justin Morneau's been heating up a little bit, so if you want to save some money at first base, I think that's an option for you.
Yeah, him and Charlie Blackmon both.
Yeah. Okay, do you have any bargains you want to share with us?
Well, Blackman's not cheap, but anyway.
yesterday, the top bargain was Justin Ruggiano, and he had a pretty nice game, and I think he's a good play again, but his price went up. Assuming that Austin Jackson's leading off, I like him against Wandy. I think you can put a nice, relatively cheap stack together if you go three of the top four hitters in that lineup, Austin Jackson, Ruggiano, and then Nelson Cruz. Kind of helps pay for it.
Okay.
Can we talk a little general strategy for a second?
Yes.
Yeah, George Patton was really good. I'm sorry.
So when you're talking stacks, you're basically talking tournament plays, right?
Wait, that was a funny joke, Chris.
That was a really funny joke.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I completely steamed
it. That's a little history nerd humor for you.
Good stuff.
So when you're talking stack, you're talking tournament plays, right? You're trying to hit big and finish high in a tournament.
For the most part, yes.
If you're thinking more 50-50s, mm-hmm. I mean, you pretty much have to start Felix, because even if he has a bad start, there's a good chance a high percentage of 50-50 guys are going to start him as well, and you could still finish in the top half of your league.
Yeah, I'm not going to play any cash games tonight without Felix.
Okay. So, you're probably not going to stack either. It would make more sense to vary the hitters you have.
Yeah, I mean, and there's...
In case Wandy Rodriguez is another good start, because it was good last time, maybe you start Cruz and no other Mariners.
Right. It's going to be very, very difficult. The problem with doing that, I do agree with what you're saying, and I don't think that stacking, at least full stacks where you have four players from an offense, is a very good idea in cash games. But if you're going to have Felix and Nelson Cruz, you're going to have several really cheap hitters. And it's going to be hard for me to have several really cheap hitters and not use Austin Jackson or Ruggiano, because I think they're two of the best cheap hitters.
Well, maybe you don't use Cruz then.
That's a great possibility, except Cruz is probably going to be highly owned too.
So like kind of like Felix, right. And you don't lose that much when you're only trying to finish in the top 50%,
right?
Even if Cruz has a bad game.
Right.
I'm asking kind of for my own edification because I've been stinking at this so far. I need to get better. I'm running out of money.
All right. Well, he'll help you out. Heath, who are you trying to trade in the Real Roto League?
Well, I got to thinking last night that I've been talking about selling high on Devin Travis and Steven Souza, and everybody else kind of seems to think, you know, they're going to ride with him. So I thought, let's just put him on the block in the Real Roto League and see what kind of offers I get. I've only gotten one offer so far for Devin Travis and nothing for Souza. But that first offer I like quite a bit.
And what was it?
Al offered me Salvador Perez for Travis, and my second catcher in that league is Roberto Perez.
Oh, yeah, you definitely need a catcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a good deal for Travis. Doesn't sound like Al's underbuying him there.
Right.
But Travis is a guy we could have talked about in rankings adjustment. I moved him up to 8th in my second base rankings. Ahead of Colton Wong, Jason Kipnis, Neil Walker. He's not the best second baseman in fantasy, but I do think as a top 10 option, he's legit. And I was kind of disappointed when I came in. I overheard Al and Heath talking about this deal, and I was like, oh, I wanted to make an offer for him too. I don't know that I can beat Perez. I was looking at maybe offering him an outfielder. It would probably be somebody like Denard Span or AJ Pollock, I think. They're of similar value to Travis, but frankly, I think Perez is a better return. So if I was Heath, I'd probably take that instead.
Well, and I think part of the reason I suggested that we do this is to talk about what is selling high on Devin Travis. I feel like Salvador Perez is selling high on Devin Travis.
Yeah, and I would agree with that.
How about I pulled off a great sell high trade for Souza. I got Cole Hamels for
nice.
Steven Souza.
Very good.
Yeah, highway robber.
That's what I was kind of hoping was that I could get a starting pitcher. And in that league, I had somebody ask me, why are you making a trade? Because I'm kind of early on dominating that league. But I've got Rendon coming back to play second base.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got my starting pitching is not very good in that league.
Yeah.
Even though I'm winning.
I will give you Alejandro Deaza and Brandon Belt for Devin Travis.
I don't really feel like that's selling high.
No. That would not be selling high on Travis.
I'm not going to give you anything because my team is underachieving right now, but we're going to be just fine. We don't need your stinking players.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's really difficult for the best team in the league to make a trade with the worst team in the league.
I don't think I am the worst team anymore. In fact, I've moved up quite a bit. I am third worst now, and I have Puig and Gomez on the DL, and Kevin Plawecki in my lineup, because I think I have John Jaso as well.
Yeah, I have Rendon, Holland, and Kinley all coming off soon, hopefully. So just trying to get to full strength.
Okay, well, look, you watch out in the rearview mirror for me. Because I moved up from last to third to last pretty quickly here, buddy. And Chris Towers isn't even in the league.
No, I am. I am in last.
Oh, you are?
My team name is Don't Blame Me. I voted for Votto.
Oh, okay. And Scott White is 7th.
Do you have Votto on your team?
No.
6th.
Okay. I thought it was a funny
7th.
Team name.
6th.
I've got Votto's face on Cotto's body. So it's great.
I like it. Good Simpsons stuff there. Nerdiest podcast ever. All right. Hey, so I didn't get to emails today, but emails, we're going to do a mailbag on Friday. Mailbag plus week 5 help. Friday. Lots of emails. Look forward to it. Thank you, guys. Fun show.
Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, Adam.
Goodbye.
See you.